Good morning,
Hello.
Jason. How you
Hey
doing?
guys.
Oh, you
Good.
need to turn our camera on,
Oh,
Tom.
where is our camera? I do that.
Down at the bottom. There you go.
Oh, there we are.
Hey.
There we are.
We're
Good to
like
see you
waving
guys.
at you and you can't see us.
Now I can see you.
You hear us?
Yes.
Okay,
Can you hear
great.
me? Yes.
Yes. I hear you
Okay.
perfectly. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely an honor.
Do you want me to start
And
us?
yeah, I'm Tom Sloan. Maya Ross.
Maya Ross. Hi, Tom and Maya. Nice
Happy
to
to
see
kiss
you.
you. Nice to meet you. Actually, before we get our interview started, we actually met you at Stewart's Opera House when you were performing with Bob Mould.
Oh yeah, what a great place.
That is such a cool space. Yeah, we
Is
got a station ID.
that Noblesville? Noblesville, Ohio?
Nelsonville.
Nelsonville,
Nelson, yeah.
right.
That was about 3 years ago. Yeah, great
Yeah,
show.
they the guy who runs that came into our dressing room before the show and said, I'm so sorry. I didn't mention this earlier, but we own a house across the street and artists can stay there if they want. And Bob was like, oh, I booked my hotel months ago. And I was like, may I check that house? And it was so cool because it was like a furnished grandma's house in Midwest.
Okay, that's awesome.
It felt very familiar to me,
Yeah.
and stayed the night. And then I asked him, I was like, we have a night off tomorrow. Can I stay two nights? And I did. And not only that, but a year later, I was touring solo and called him up and asked if I could stay again. And they let me stay again. So,
That's awesome. Very
yeah,
cool.
n not only do I love that venue and that was such a fun night, but they're just wonderful people that have been very accommodating to me and I'm sure many other musicians.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure shortly, I mean, that show we saw 3 years ago, shortly after lockdown. So, I mean, I'm sure having free room and board kind of came in handy since being off work for a period of time. So, I'm
It
sure that.
kind of always comes in handy.
I mean that
Yeah,
too,
for me,
but
I don't have mailbox money, as they call
Yes, exactly.
it.
All right, let me get us started. Yes, please.
All right.
You are listening to WTSQ 88.1 FM in Charleston, West Virginia. And we are joined here in the studio on Zoom with Jason Narducci. And we're going to be talking all about the new Verboten album that is going to be coming out very, very soon, about that project and all things Jason Narducci. How are you doing this morning, Jason?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being here. Definitely an honor. Yeah, so you've played with numerous people. Bob Mould, we were just talking about off camera. Split single, your solo project with the name of the band name, and Superchunk, Sunny Day Real Estate, to name a few of many. And yeah, we're talking about Verboten, which you formed in 1982. Is that correct?
I'm currently in Evanston, Illinois, and that's where I lived when I was younger as well. And I met some kids in the neighborhood. They lived Zach and Chris lived two doors down from me in an apartment, and I met them and we started a band called The Reflex, which
Nice. A little
not
play on
bad.
like Duran Duran, the Reflex.
I don't think we were listening to Duran Duran, but
Reflex
yeah,
Records.
I bet there was a lot of right, Reflex Records. I didn't think about that. How about that? How about that
You
connection?
should just say that's what it is.
Yeah, that's yeah. I'm gonna change the story. Well, I forgot about that, and Tracy at a practice 2 weeks ago reminded us that we were called the Reflex, and I immediately could envision a cassette tape that said the Reflex on it. Now I have to find that because I want to know what songs we recorded without, before Tracy was in the band. But yeah, we didn't do much as a trio. We would play in Zach's bedroom, not only to rehearse, but I remember his parents had some parties and we would, the adults would pack into his bedroom and we would play a show. We'd get like our party lights, like the red light and the blue light and put those in the different sockets, and then all of a sudden it was a concert for, 10 and 11 year olds. But then Tracy joining the band really turned it into an actual band, because she was such a presence as a singer and as a person. And she was completely immersed in the punk rock scene and would get us shows at clubs with legitimate bands. So the band wasn't together for a very long time, but during that time, we did quite a few things. We played on a local Chicago NBC show called Kidding Around, like a early morning Saturday kids show. Here we are with our, you know, trying to be punk rock. And then the segment after us was, you know, making cookies with Susie from the West Suburbs or something, you know.
So what inspired you all as kids? What were you listening to that made you want to start a punk band?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of moments in my life that I could, you know, before that influenced all, you know, my dad taking me to see The Kids Are All Right, which was the Who documentary that came out in 1979. I was 8. And then he took me to see Cheap Trick in February of 1981. I was 10. That's right when I got my first guitar. So it was really like, those were two biggies. And then punk rock was something that we were all discovering, Chris and Tracy more so, but I loved it. And that just felt like our music, you know, because our parents didn't really understand it. My dad liked Cheap Trick and liked a lot of the bands that I liked, you know, but punk rock was like, okay, now this is our generation, you know. And listening back to Verboten playing that music, you know, we weren't, because we were so young and, you know, new to our instruments, it ended up sounding more like new wave. It was almost like, you know, like if the Go-Go's tried to play punk rock or something. I know in their early days that they were, but
yeah, they were really involved in the punk scene, which is a cool little tidbit about them. But yeah,
in LA, yeah. But then it got, you know, it got a lot more poppy. Quick, great songs. We love them too, you know. Like, but so there was a couple songs where I think we you could call it punk rock, but mostly it was kids just trying to, you know, I mean, I was 11 writing songs. You know, there was one time Tracy asked me, you know, because her cousin is Dave Grohl, and we've gone to many shows and I've toured with them, but there was one time Tracy said to me in front of Dave, she brought up one of the Verboten songs and she's like, what did you mean by that? And I'm like, Tracy, I was 11. Like, I don't know what I meant. You know, don't say that in front of Dave. Come on, you know. But it's a pretty crazy story. And this is so unlikely that we're playing again.
Exactly.
It was completely Tracy and Chris. I just didn't, it didn't even occur to me. They have not been playing music. And so they, you know, they, somebody contacted them from a promotion company in California. And they're like, there might be interest in doing like a festival show if we reunited. And I was like, first of all, you guys want to play? Like, okay. Good to know. Second question, we don't have enough songs to play a set. So we kind of like eased into it. I got together with Chris, and I got together, Tracy flew in, and the three of us kind of got together, and I wrote some ideas, and then Chris and I started writing songs, and I was like, well, how about this? We make a new record and see if, you know, any of these festivals are still interested. And, you know, here we are with a new record and playing Riot Fest.
And the new record has a little bit of a different sound to it in terms of just being a little more polished than those
well,
that first album.
Maya, I went through puberty. So that's one different sound. I called Tracy at the beginning of this just to kind of like, I was like, all right, I'm going to start writing songs, but I don't know what your vocal range is. And she said, well, my voice is deeper than it was back then. I was like, yeah, me too. I went through puberty. Yeah, I mean, it's complete. I think there's a couple songs on the record that have not been released yet that are reminiscent of what we sounded like. There's a little bit more lightheartedness and kind of joyish pop punk near the end of the record, a song called Human Division, and another song, Conviction of Youth, where Chris kind of brought this up. He's like, this kind of sounds like that thing that we had back then. But, you know, why would we we're just completely different people,
right?
You know? And certainly for me, I've played so much music since then. If I didn't learn something from that, it would be a shame, you know? So I tried to integrate all those things, but Chris was a great collaborator because he is such a, he could be a producer. He could produce records because he'd come over to my house and I'd play him like six new ideas that I had. And he'd go, okay, these two are split single. This one, I don't know what that is, but these three are verboten. And he was always right, you know, and I needed that. I needed that feedback and that sounding board. And he did things like, he would give me little ideas like, don't forget that some of the bands we listened to back then had music that you could dance to. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, The Clash, Talking Heads, Susie and the Banshees. And then we'd go listen to those songs. And that inspired this song called Better Life that I wrote, which is unlike anything I've ever written. And it's kind of like if Glenn Tilbrook was fronting the Stooges and they were covering a Susie song, you know, it's like, cause I kind of sound like Glenn Tilbrook. So it's me singing, but then it's this distorted bass and these bells kind of like Stooges. And then it's this dance beat, like Susie and the Banshees. It's like, you mix all these things together and then write a melody and some lyrics and it just becomes this other thing. And so Chris was really integral to the process for me because we did this very quickly. The first time I got together with him was like November 9th of last year.
Wow.
And we wrote a song called Kicking Away. That was the first thing. He had this riff and I just ran with it. And then it's a song about skateboarding.
Nice.
Nice. I've never done that before. But we used to skateboard to practice and skateboard around Evanston. So it was kind of like a look back at that.
That really says something about you all as a band and as friends, that you could come together after that huge span of time and still be able to put an album out in such a short period of time.
It was very quick. I mean, we all stayed friends.
Yeah.
All of us. And in fact, Chris lives four blocks away from me and we hang out a lot. Mainly in his backyard drinking beers. any time of year.
Yes.
Zach's in Chicago. I see him probably once a month and Tracy's in Florida, but you know, we were all in touch. This was not like, oh, I haven't seen you in 40 years. It was more like, I can't believe we're playing music. You know. So it's been wild. It's been a wild project.
Well, going back to the verboten sound, so the first single was Bodily Autonomy, which came out last month. Mm-hmm. And when I first heard that, I mean, I was familiar with 7-inch or the, well, part of what was put on a cassette, I guess, back in 82. And it definitely had, I mean, obviously, what Maya was saying, more current and polished, but it definitely had the same feel to me, the energy of Verboten compared to your other projects, like Split Single, like you're saying. And then, but when you guys get together, I mean, do you kind of go back to that time to get that sound? Or when you get together, does it automatically, the Verboten sound comes out?
I mean, I'm kind of surprised to hear you say that. I don't hear that similarity, but I suppose it's inevitable. It's Tracy and I singing together.
Right.
I think I mean, no, because those guys haven't been playing.
Well, I mean, not so much the sound, but the feel that you had back then, the energy, the chemistry.
Yeah, the personal energy. So in February, Tracy flew in to Chicago and the three of us got together for a couple days. And that was wild because the personal, you know, like they kind of, they reverted back to kind of teenage humor and It was wild. I mean, it's not like we haven't hung out before, but with guitars in our hands, that was different.
Yeah.
And it kind of like brought back some basement practice vibes. I just actually found a cassette that said on it "Verboten Last Practice," and I listened to some of it, and it's pretty wild to hear.
You've got to
You
get
can
that on
just,
Bandcamp. You've got to get that
oh,
released.
I don't know how listenable it is. If for someone like me, I mean, it's wild. It's really nice to hear. Like, there's complete camaraderie, even though it's our last practice. And I don't even, I mean, those guys would remember better than I would the circumstances. I don't even know why we broke up. I honestly don't. So I'll have to ask them. But
When was the last practice, or what?
1983. Yeah, we did. Oh, you know what it might have been? I still don't know why we did, but that TV show that I was telling you about, we did in, it was either like May of 83 or June of 83, and we had already broken up. So if you can watch it on YouTube, and they interview us, and the guy's like, "So are you guys gonna keep this going?" And I said something like, "If things turn out right, yeah." You know, we already knew that we broke up, but we were totally friends. There was never any kind of like animosity or anything. But listening to that practice is, you know, middle school kids are like feral animals.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a demeaning way. I just mean like the high intense energy of everything. You know, like there's kind of a conversation going on about the arrangement of a song that we keep starting and stopping and starting and stopping. And while that conversation is happening, the drummer is doing, Zach is doing all these wild fills, you know. So you're listening to these, you're like, I'm losing my mind. And Chris is going, "Look at me, my bass is like," he's done something with his strap and it's like around his neck or something. And it's just chaos. And yeah, it just feels, you know, as a 53-year-old, it's just like I can listen to like 2 minutes and then I need to take a break, take a nap. 2 minutes and then I'll take a nap and then I'll listen to another 2 minutes.
So back in 2020, you came out with the Verboten, the musical, and that was,
That wasn't my idea either.
wasn't your idea.
No.
Where did that come about?
Well, it's because, you know, the Sonic Highways, the
Oh.
HBO show, when Dave interviewed Tracy and I, that was a lot of people's introduction to the band. You know, that came out in 2014, and he was very kind to say sweet things about us and show footage of us playing at Cubby Bear when I was 11 years old. And there was a playwright in Chicago, a successful playwright. He'd already produced 30 original plays, and he got a hold of me through mutual friends, and he said, "I have this idea about there being a musical about Verboten." I remember being really not, I was pessimistic, you know, not optimistic about this. But he was very persuasive, and he interviewed all of us. And I mean, it took 5 years, but he's like, I'll write the book, you write the music." And, you know, I was really surprised by that experience because it was very powerful. It helped that it was successful, you know, like packed houses and tons of press, and it was joyous. And we had this amazing cast. They were so talented and they worked so hard. Great director, great everything. The whole thing was so wild. But yeah, it was Brett's idea. Brett Nevue wrote it, and I thought it fell apart a number of times during those 5 years and kind of moved on. I remember bringing some of the punk rock songs that I had written for that to somebody else because I was like, "These aren't going to get used, but I think they're pretty good." And so yeah, now we're working on a film version of that. We're working with a production company to make a musical version of Verboten, the
That's
musical.
awesome.
So, do you think by doing the musical, did that have something to do with reuniting the band and reforming this year to put out a new album?
Yeah, I think a number of things where it just seems like this story just keeps coming back up. I mean, you know, fast forward past Sonic Highways, Dave Grohl wrote his book Storytellers, and there's a There's a whole chapter about us. You know, it's called Tracy as a Punk Rocker. That's Tracy from Verboten. And, you know, Michael Azerrad just did an addended version of Come As You Are, the Nirvana book. And there's an entire page about Verboten. I went on Seth Meyers in December of last year with Michael Shannon to promote our Murmur tour. And the segment producer, you know, during the pre-interview, he's like, I don't know if you're tired of talking about this, but we did research on you and we'd love to talk about Verboten. I was like, I'll talk about Verboten. I'm very proud of that. And we talked a lot about it on the show, more than I expected. So it just keeps on coming up. And then when this promoter reached out to Tracy and Chris about possibly doing a show, it's just another moment like that. And it made us think about, well, how would we like to do this? And I came up with this idea of making a record where John Carroll, the new drummer, and I would spend most of the time in Chicago recording the kind of skeleton of it. And Chris and I would continue to write songs. Chris and I wrote two of the songs, music. And then we'd bring in Chris and Tracy at the end, and that's how it worked out.
You recorded it at a electrical audio.
Yeah, there was this really great moment when Chris and I were sitting there, and I said, you know, Chris, when's the last time you recorded in a studio? And he was just coming by to see what I was doing. He wasn't actually about to record then. He was getting ready and learning the songs. And, you know, I'm writing these songs so fast that they didn't have a lot of time to learn them, honestly. And Chris said, it was 1985. He had joined a punk rock band called Nadsat Rebel after Verboten broke up. And it was in 1985, and the engineer was Steve Albini.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of Steve's first sessions.
That's awesome.
So I said to Chris, I was like, okay, things have changed. You know, I was like, you don't have to play the song all the way through anymore. You know, we've got these capabilities with technology where, like, I know you're just learning these songs. We can go segment by segment. Well, let's just worry about making a good record, and then we've got all summer to practice the live thing. And it wasn't long after that that Steve walked into the studio to talk to Taylor, our engineer and studio manager, about something. And I said, "Hey, Steve, this is Chris from Verboten and Nadsat Rebel." And Steve walked around the console and shook his hand, and that will now be a cherished memory. I already liked that moment for myself, but now, you know, obviously with Steve gone, that's a
Yeah.
very special moment.
Yeah, I wanted to ask kind of moving away from, because you mentioned it, moving away from just a moment on, about Verboten, about the project that you did with Michael Shannon and your REM tribute. You guys did Murmur. Is there, one, how did that come about? And two, is there plans to do other albums? Because I'm a big REM fan.
Me too. And I'm glad you are. I met Michael through an artist. Oops, sorry, clock on screen. An artist named Robbie Foulkes, who's an amazing. He's mainly known for bluegrass and folk music, but he can play anything. He's a tremendous songwriter, singer, phenomenal guitar player. And Robbie asked me to play a Lou Reed record called Iron. No, called Blue Mask, not Iron Mask, Blue Mask. And he was going to have Michael sing it. And I'd never met Michael before, but we did this show at the Hideout. This is over 10 years ago. So I met Michael there. And then we did one more show with Robbie at Metro. I think we played Velvet Underground songs. And then Robbie moved to LA, and Michael reached out to me and said, "Hey, I want to play the Smiths' Queen Is Dead. Can you put a band together for me?" So I booked the show at Space in Evanston and put together a band, and that went well. And we just it kind of became an annual thing where we would do like a Dylan record or a Neil Young record or Modern Lovers or, and for me, it was a fun challenge. I mean, not only to kind of be musical director and pick different musicians for each project, but also to learn an entire record for one song is, it's like taking a college course, you know? And I really liked working with Michael because he works hard, and it was always low stakes. Like, there would be one practice the night before the show, and then we'd do the show. And
That's
it's like a
awesome.
pop, it's like a pop-up, you know, event or something. So we've been doing that for 10 years. And last year we did Modern Lovers in January at Space in Evanston. And then I think it was like May, I saw that he was coming back to Chicago to help promote a local theater. I reached out to him. I was like, you want to do another one? You know, because we don't usually do more than one a year. And he's like, sure, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, it's the 40th anniversary of Murmur. I knew that he liked REM, that he loved REM. And he said, okay, let's do it, but it's got to be at Metro. And as musical director, a little inside baseball here, I want to make sure, and of course Michael does too, but I feel responsible to make sure that the band gets paid well, because it's a big assignment to learn, you know, that many songs, play it once and walk off the stage and that's it. So at a show like at a place like Metro, the overhead is quite substantial. It holds 1150, and you got to sell a certain amount of tickets before you know, start to make money. So I was not so sure about that, but I called Metro and threw the idea at them, and they're like, well, you know, it's our 40th anniversary too. And the first band to ever play here was REM. And I was like, oh, okay, we got to do
All
it.
the stars aligned right there for you.
All the stars aligned, except for the timing, because it was 1 month before the show that we announced it. So usually want to give people 3 months to buy tickets or more. 1 month was tough, but we still almost got to 1,000. And the energy at that show and around it, in other words, before we played the show, I got an offer to play in San Francisco from another venue. So it was like something about this just found traction and people were interested. So after Metro, I said to Mike, I was like, I think we can put together a little tour if you want. And he loved that idea. So we did a 9-date tour and it just went incredibly well. So, I'm not letting the cat out of the bag because Michael has already done a number of interviews where he's mentioned this, but we are going to do another tour next year. And the details of that will be coming out in probably 2 weeks or something.
Awesome.
But
I
I
will be
shouldn't say anything
watching.
else about
I
it. But
can't.
yeah, we'll be back out. Yeah, it was too much fun.
Well, this interview won't be airing until
We're gonna wait until the album comes out, Verboten's album,
Oh,
to do
okay.
the interview. So we can take that little
Oh,
tiny piece
yeah, it
out.
will be announced by then. Yes,
Perfect.
I think that's the plan. It changes sometimes. So yeah, we're gonna go out and tour next year.
I don't mean to stop anything, but it is 10:28, and I heard you have to stop right at 10:30.
Yeah,
So,
sorry. Yep.
you're talking about a festival. So, Verboten is playing Riot Fest, is that right?
Yes.
And that's September 21st.
Correct. Yep.
And are you planning on playing any other shows besides Riot Fest, or just t see how that one goes and then
We
kind of
are.
take it from there?
Yeah, we are, and I can't talk about
Okay. Well,
that
we'll
either.
talk about that. Hopefully we can speak to you again soon and
That'd be great.
talk about that then. Well, thank you so much. And
Thank you guys. Nice to see you again.
yes.
And how can our listeners find out more about Jason Arducci and Verboten and Split
I
Single?
social media. Yeah, I mean my Instagram has a link tree to kind of all my activities, and there's a Verboten Instagram, and yeah, those are probably the best ones.
That's awesome.
And the brand new single from Verboten just came out yesterday. No More Indecision.
Yes.
Great song. Looking
A
forward to
ranger. A barn burner.
it. Yes. Exactly. And we're very much looking forward to the whole album, and we'll be playing that quite a bit here on WTSQ.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, thank you. Really appreciate it. And
Yes, thank you so much.
hope you have a wonderful day. We will talk to you soon.
I just wanted to add one other thing, just and this can be off interview. I was saw the Sunny Day Real Estate tour and had no idea that was you on stage when they
Oh,
announced
which
you at
show
the
did you
end.
see?
I was at the Raleigh show, the very, very first show.
Oh yeah.
And
That was
that was
hot. It was
it
hot.
was. And
Yeah.
I was like totally crying at some of the songs. I was not expecting it to bring that out of me, but that was one of my absolute favorite albums. And to hear all of that from beginning to end was amazing.
I love playing with that band.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing it's funny, I'm playing Riot Fest at 11:30 a.m. on the main stage, and then doing a couple interviews, and then flying to Louisville at night to play with Sunny Day Real Estate the next day. So I've got
Nice.
like a week's worth of touring with them. But it's so funny that I can't even enjoy the verboten show. I gotta
Yeah.
go back to work. But I mean, I will enjoy it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that's great to hear that you were there. I really do love playing with those guys, and the music is so powerful.
And it was just such a magical show. Everyone singing along, and the end of it with the drums, as that's the only thing. I took video like around the room of just people reacting, and it was an amazing show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right on.
Cool,
Well,
guys.
we'll let you
Have a great
go.
day.
Thank you so much, Jason. Take care. We'll talk
Thank
to you soon.
you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.